Reading this evening is taken from Luke's Gospel, chapter 1. Gospel according to Luke, chapter 1. And we'll read from verse 26 to 38. Luke, chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. This is what God says. In the sixth month, God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a town in Galilee, to a virgin pledged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant from David. The virgin's name was Mary. The angel went to her and said, "Greetings, you who are highly favored. The Lord is with you." Mary was greatly troubled at his words and wondered what kind of greeting this might be. But the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. You will be with child and will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever. His kingdom will never end." "How will this be?" Mary asked the angel, "since I am a virgin." The angel answered, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the Holy One to be born will be called the Son of God. Even Elizabeth, your relative, is going to have a child in her old age, and she who was said to be barren is in her sixth month. For nothing is impossible with God." "I am the Lord's servant," Mary answered. "May it be to me as you have said." Then the angel left her. Amen, and we know God will add his own blessing to this reading. I want us to listen to a lovely, haunting Appalachian folk song, Appalachian Mountains in America. It was first written during the Depression in 1933, and it speaks of the mystery of the Christmas story and the miraculous intervention of God. Tries to explain by words and music how difficult it is for the human heart to fully understand what God chose to do and why he chose to do it. Thanks, Phil. Thank you. The author of the song got it right when they wrote, "I wonder," because it's all wonder. The miracle of how God the Son came to earth and became the Son of God. PowerPoint, please, Phil, come have that. They're flying all over the place. The fingers are burning the keys tonight. The word wonder is a feeling of amazement and admiration caused by something beautiful, remarkable, and unfamiliar. Other similar words are awe and fascination and astonishment and amazement. But in today's world, there isn't much wonder anymore. In fact, the word wonder isn't all that wonderful. How many times have you heard of somebody rising to the top of the pops and he has his 15 minutes of glory and he's called a one-hit wonder? In America, there's an ordinary loaf of white, plain pan bread and it's called Wonder Bread. Women wear wonder undergarments. But there's nothing to wonder at about any of them. Take the seven wonders of the world, the ancient world. The Great Pyramid of Giza in Egypt is the last of the seven wonders of the ancient world. But there used to be the Hanging Baskets of Babylon, the Statue of Zeus at Olympia in Greece, the Temple of Artemis in Ephesus, the Mausoleum of Halicarnassus, I think that's right, the Colossus of Rhodes, the Lighthouse of Alexandria in Egypt. And then there's the seven wonders of the modern world. Petra in Jordan, buried in mountains of sand in the Valley of Moses. The Chichen Itza, I think that's how to pronounce it. The Chichen Itza, ancient Mexican city. The Statue of Christ the Redeemer in Rio de Janeiro. The Colosseum or the Colosseum in Rome. The Great Wall of China. From Yellow Sea to the Gobi Desert, 13,000 miles long. You got Machu Picchu, I think that's again, Machu Picchu, the lost city of the Incas in Peru. And then you have the Taj Mahal in India. Now all of them are considered as wondrous sights to behold. They're magnificent because of their size and how wonderful was the engineering to make them. But they were only created by humans. We may not know how they were created, but there were explanations for them, even if the explanation is still to be discovered. On the other hand, there's the seven wonders of the natural world. The Grand Canyon in America. The Great Barrier Reef in Australia. The harbor in Rio de Janeiro. Mount Everest in the Alps. The Aurora Borealis. The Northern Lights in the Arctic in Norway. The Patacan Volcano in Mexico. And there's the Victoria Falls in Zimbabwe. Now these natural wonders of the world go beyond human experience. These wonders speak of omnipotence and the creative power of God. The majority of the man-made wonders have fallen to dust and disappeared. But the natural wonders are held by the sustaining power of God, keeping it all in place. That's where the wonder comes from, God. But even the natural wonders of the world, awesome as they are not what causes Christians to wonder. I want to listen to another song. Fingers going. The second song is by George Beverly Shea. It's called The Wonder of It All.
Oh.
on earth or why in heaven would God want to love me? Now, that truly is wonderful, full of wonder. I know me, and I know I'm the chief of sinners, so why does God love me? I don't know, but he does. And even more wonderful, it's amazing how much he loves me. He loved me enough to send his son to die on a cross for my sin, which takes us back to the song we heard at the beginning. I wonder, as I wander out under the sky, how Jesus the Savior did come for to die for ordinary people like you and I. That's when the fullness of God's love was shown to mankind. When Christ left the glory of heaven and came to earth on our behalf. What a privilege. You've all heard about the American Express card. There used to be an advert on television for the card, and the tagline was, "Membership has its privileges." And it appealed to the basic human desire to be special, to be chosen above the rest. The world is divided between the haves and the have-nots, and the people who have not look on the haves with envy and a little bit of awe and wish they had the same privileges. I read of a young couple who had been dating less than 2 months and they were out for dinner. She said she had something to tell him. Now, it worried him a bit because he thought it was all over and there was another boyfriend on the scene. But that wasn't the case. She wanted to tell him she was adopted. When he got over the feeling of relief, he asked her to tell him all about it. And she explained her story, how Kathy in Virginia became Marlene in North Dakota. He asked her, "Have you ever wanted to find your real parents?" And she said, "These are my real parents. They had an entire orphanage full of kids to choose from, and they chose me. They could have chosen anyone, but they didn't. They chose me. For Marlene, the privilege was the joy of being chosen." And I suspect Mary felt the same when the angel Gabriel appeared to her and told her that she had been chosen by God to be the mother of his child. Even in Gabriel's greeting, the wonder of privilege is clear. "Greetings, you who are highly favored, the Lord be with you." Highly favored meant Mary was privileged. That's something to wonder at. Mary was in awe. How could she, a virgin, have a baby? Gabriel assured her that God had already done the impossible for Elizabeth in her old age. Now God was giving her the privilege to carry his son. And awe and wonder turned to trust and willingness to do as God wanted. "I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said." I wonder if you've really ever truly realized just how privileged you are tonight, Christian. If you've come to Christ and confessed your sin and been born again, you are a privileged person. You've been chosen and adopted into the family of God. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4 to 6 says, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in the heavenly realms with every spiritual blessing in Christ. For he chose us in him before the creation of the world to be holy and blameless in his sight. In love, he predestined us for adoption to sonship through Jesus Christ, in accordance with his pleasure, and will be to the praise of his glorious grace, which he has freely given us in the one he loves." He had the whole of creation to choose from. He had the whole solar system to choose from. He had the whole planet to choose from. He had the whole of history to choose from. Of all the billions of people to choose from, he chose me. That's marvelous. How can you not feel privileged? Chosen to be loved. Chosen to be saved from sin. Chosen to have the Holy Spirit live with you. Chosen to have all the riches of his glory at your disposal. chosen to have the same power he has, chosen to be equipped to serve him, chosen to go to heaven one day and be with him forever, chosen to be heirs and co-heirs with Christ. What amazing privileges. And that's only scratching the surface. And all because he chose you. Early in her pregnancy, Mary went to visit Elizabeth, her cousin, the wife of Zachariah, who, although well on in years and unable to have children, was now 6 months pregnant. Scriptures don't tell us how or why Mary went to visit Elizabeth. Perhaps it was to escape the taunts and the barbs of the woman in her own village. Perhaps it was to speak with someone she could trust, someone who was in the family and who understood this miraculous conception. But most likely it was because the Holy Spirit compelled her to go. For comfort and support, yes, but also for confirmation. Because as soon as the baby in Elizabeth's womb heard Mary's voice, it leapt in the womb. Then Elizabeth was excited, and she was inspired to say, "Blessed are you among women, and blessed is the child that you will bear. But why am I so favored that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" Even Elizabeth could only wonder at what God was doing, and she was part of it. What a prophecy. Elizabeth knew nothing about Mary's pregnancy, but as soon as the baby leapt in the womb, she humbled herself. And Mary praised the Lord. And what praise? Luke chapter 1, verse 46 to 49 says, "And Mary said, my soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for he has been mindful of the humble estate of his servant." Mary's sense of wonder is clear in these verses. They're called the Magnificat, which means my soul shall magnify the Lord. Her response was praise and worship and thanksgiving. Her audience with Elizabeth caused her to be filled with wonder. God had orchestrated this pregnancy, and now it had gripped Mary's heart and filled her with true and uninhibited wonder. 9 months later, Mary and Joseph, now her husband, were on their way to Bethlehem to register there for the imperial census. Consider the facts and the wonder of all of that. When Jacob was blessing his sons in Genesis chapter 49, he said to them, "The scepter shall not depart from Judah." That was around 1850 BC. And Judah would have the rule over the nation. When the nation chose Saul to be the first king of Israel, he was a Benjamite. The nation got it wrong, but God put it right. And he sent Samuel to anoint David from the tribe of Judah to be the next rightful king over Israel. Do you remember where Samuel had to go to find David? He went to Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5 verse 2, around 700 years BC. "But you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, though you are small among the clans of Judah, out of you will come for me one who will be ruler over Israel, whose origins are from old, from of ancient times." That actually means even before time began. Then, in the year naught, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census be taken of the entire Roman world, and everyone went to his own town to register. Where did Joseph and Mary go? Bethlehem. Isn't that wonderful? Now, there's no way a woman heavily pregnant and so near her time was going to walk for miles or get onto a donkey to walk for miles when she was due to deliver her baby. There had to be something to compel her, and that was the Roman Empire. And God put that entire Roman Empire into motion for the single purpose of getting Mary to where she needed to be at the moment Christ would be born. Wonderful. That was no ordinary birth. Prophesied 1800 years before, and when the time was fully come, exactly right, God sent forth his son, and he even moved nations to comply with his will. Is it any wonder Mary wondered at all those things? Have you ever wondered why God did all of that for you? Surely that causes you to wonder and be thrilled and excited. If he did all that for you, what wonders has he planned for us in the future? Luke chapter 2, verse 6 and 7. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them at the inn. You ever notice the utter simplicity of these two verses? Into the world comes the Son of God, the most amazing events ever to take place in the whole of history. And all God gives it is two verses. Isn't that amazing? There's nothing told about her pain. We get so much on TV these days, the cries, the shouts, the anger, the gas in the air, and the craziness of it all. There's nothing about Mary's joy when the baby's placed into her arms. I'm told there is no pain like childbirth. I'm told there's no joy like the joy when the mother has the baby in her arms. Pain's still there, but the joy outweighs the pain. Mary had all the joy and more. This child she cuddled was none other than the Son of God, and she had the privilege to carry this baby for 9 months. On the other hand, this baby would also suffer to rescue lost men and women from their sins, including his own mother. What a wonderful night. This son, promised to man in the Garden of Eden, promised for almost 2,000 years, promised by an angel, conceived by the Holy Spirit, carried in the womb to Bethlehem to ensure the fulfillment of prophecy, and born in a stable surrounded by animals. This baby was the one whose name would be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. I've told you before, when I was at Bible college, we were told how we had to do funerals and weddings and dedications and all sorts of things. But we were never told how to do them, which meant that when the first one came along, we had to do it on the hoof. We had to learn as we went along. I remember on the night I was appointed pastor of People's Hall in Bridgenorth. They had the vote and I was appointed pastor. Lila was praying that I wouldn't get the job, but they got it right. Another item on the agenda was Christmas and the carols by candlelight service. And one member said, could Jackie not do it? I'm only appointed and they're getting me to do things. But I'd never done that before. And I started to learn. Nothing in Mary's young life could have prepared her for this. Of course, no woman is prepared for her first child. Life is rosy. Life is sublime. We're told the woman glows, and then the pain. But Mary's pain was worse because of the heavy responsibility that came with this child. Yet in wonder and obedience, she accepted the extraordinary implications of God's extraordinary plan for her life. What a whirlwind 9 months. She met an archangel. The Holy Spirit planted a seed in her womb. A child would be the Son of God. She went to her cousin and her baby leapt in the womb. She sung praise to God and it's recorded in Scripture. She endured the ridicule and the abuse from others and she went to Bethlehem and the baby was born in a humble stable. And we are told Mary treasured all these things and pondered them in her heart. She wondered. She was only a young girl herself. She had to grow up and mature with this baby. She learned what it was to be a woman and a mother. She was able to feed this baby at her breast, close to her heart. She taught this baby how to talk and to walk. When our granddaughter Natalie was a toddler, Lila taught her Bible stories. When she came to visit us, Natalie climbed up on Lila's knee and said, Granny, tell me more about Joseph's brothers or some other Bible story. Think of the stories when Jesus came to Mary and asked her to tell him the story of the angels and the shepherds and the wise men. And she got to wonder all over again. She meditated on them. She constantly thought about them. She wondered. Maybe one day she would understand. But not for another 33 years, when she saw her firstborn nailed to a cross because of you and me. She didn't say anything, but she wondered. Of course, it broke her heart. But now she understood how this baby Jesus could save his people from their sins. 2,000 years later, we're still caught up in the wonder of it all. In another couple of weeks, we'll be at the height of the Christmas celebrations. And we'll consider it all over again and wonder, because he did it all for me.